And let's receive Elder William Liverman and the gospel of the grace of God that is greater than all of our sins. Elder William Liverman.
Amen.
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 Praise Jesus.
Grace and peace to the household of faith. Thank God for everyone here. Thank God for allowing us to come together one more time. Let every heart pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for your grace, kindness, and mercy. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come together one more time. We thank you, Lord, for the essence of Christ. We thank you, Lord, that we can truly say that greater, greater, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And Father, we thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We just ask that you would breathe upon this vessel to preach, teach what you've already decreed to be done. As you continue to bless the Grace Gospel Church, continue to bless our pastor as he continues to rest and recover. We continue to thank you for all the ministry gifts that you've given here, Lord. But above all, bless the Word of God today. We thank you for the goodness of Christ. We thank you for the grace of Christ. Let Christ be magnified. Let everything point to Jesus Christ and his finished work. And Father, in everything we'll be mindful to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. Let all the people of God say, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank God for the word of God today as we move forward. Whenever we come together, there is nothing like coming together and to exalt Jesus Christ and him crucified. Repeat after me three times. Let's say, Jesus is coming.
Jesus is coming.
One more. Jesus is coming.
Jesus is coming.
Last time. Jesus is coming.
Jesus is coming.
Do you know if you turn on a TV, a radio, talk to your friend, you mentioned that Jesus is coming? You think most God's people would be like, it's almost like you're in a twilight zone.
That's true, though.
And people would say, well, you know, y'all been saying it for 2,000 years. He hasn't come yet. Even Peter had talked about that. That in the last days, many mockers would say, where is the promise of his coming? But see, we can look to our gospel, our contract, and see, not only is he coming, but he's already come. But somebody say, Elder, you may need to sit down today. He's already come. Looking around, see, that's the whole thing. You're looking in the matrix, and you say, well, he has not come in terms of manifestation, church, but he's already come in terms of actualization because it's already decreed. But we just don't know when that event is going to occur in the matrix, but it has already occurred by God's decree. It came through the medium of a saying of God. Let's move into some scriptures today. And let me just share with you what we are going to do. With the help of the Holy Spirit, we're going to open with a couple of verses. And then, after that, you bear with me, there is a document that I'm going to, with the help of the Lord, read. And it's entitled Observation of Manifestations in Time from the Viewpoint of Actualization in Eternity. See, many of God's people are locked in time. You're caught up in what appears before your eyes. But we need to be captivated by eternity. Captivated, church. Because if you are not captivated by eternity, you will be tossed to and fro based upon all these crazy things that's happening right now. Now, one thing you should have total relaxation. There's always been crazy things that's happening. Since the beginning of time, since God placed everything in the time capsule, crazy things always happen. I've always been here. Somebody said, what about the political arena? Well, it's nothing new. There's always been turmoil, political turmoil. But our hope is, our focus is not on manifestation, church. Our focus is on what God has already done. Via the medium of a saint of God. Everything is according to God. Let's go into 2 Timothy. Deacon Gavin, I want you to read these three verses first. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 15. Yeah, let's read this. This is Paul's instructions to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, first. And you can go, just go to the Greek there.
We're reading from the interlineal Greek text, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Again, interlineal Greek text. Be eager, thyself approved, to present to God a workman unashamed, cutting straight the word of truth.
Cutting straight, church, that Greek word. Now, in the King James, they use the word rightly divide, but it doesn't go far enough, because what do you mean rightly divide? Yes, the word of God should be rightly divided, and Deacon Gavin used a Greek word there instead of rightly divided. A more accurate definition, church, is straight. Cut it straight. Cut the word of God straight. Now, you can have many times a lot of clarity on Scripture when you focus, when you look to the historical viewpoint in terms of that, let's say, in this case, Paul's letter to Timothy. What was happening during this time? Well, there's a lot of false doctrine that was going on, people missing the messages, and understand Timothy's training. He was trained. Timothy was a student of the law, trained by Lois and Eunice, his mother and grandmother. So he was trained under the law. And Timothy had knowledge also of kingdom law, because understand, when Jesus came preaching the gospel of the kingdom, Timothy, Paul and Timothy, they were alive, church. But you know the story of Paul, Saul, he was locked into the law until God shined on him the revelation of the mystery. What is the mystery? The volume of truth that God gave to the Apostle Paul for the Grace Church. However, on a historical basis, before that knowledge was revealed to the Apostle Paul, well, in this, before it was revealed, he was locked in the law. But now, when God gave him this revelation, this knowledge, thank God, the mystery in Timothy, there's a lot of confusion that occurred. It was also more confusion even in Galatians. But so Paul's instructions to Timothy, the word of God has to be rightly divided. Now, we can't stop there. Rightly divided according to what, church? Dispensations and covenants. You have to divide this Bible. And everyone that, the child of God, everyone should know the seven dispensations. Because number one, again, we're just going to give you an intro in this document, because we want you to understand that the writings are different. Seven dispensations. Rightly divide the word according to seven dispensations. Rightly divide the word according to innocence, one, conscience, two, three, human government, four, promise, five, law, six, grace, seven, kingdom. These are the seven dispensations where you are to divide the Bible, draw a line of demarcation around these messages. And when you do that, you won't be confused when you go to over there in Deuteronomy or in Leviticus. And we're not minimizing the other right, the other covenants or the other dispensations. And when we teach this, people say, well, you tell us not, we shouldn't read the Bible. Absolutely not. The whole Bible is God's word, and the Bible should be read. But you should spend most of your time focusing on the area where you get more information. And that area is our gospel. Those 14 epistles of Paul from Romans through Hebrews. That's where you have more light, church. You spend your time where you have more information. And you're going to get the deeper things of God in the grace covenant. That's where you have, again, before we go to the document, you have in the actualized view, everything is already done. You cannot just read the Bible like a Charles Dickens novel and say, well, I understand the word of God. No, you read the Bible where the areas where you have more information. And I don't know why God's people, they fight over, and you say there's some parts of the Bible where you have more information than other parts. Why do people fight that? Even in the secular arena, they say, well, you're right. I'm referring to secular education. I'm not beating up on secular education, but let me give you an example. I talked to a PhD student from Wayne State University last year, and he's working on his PhD in chemistry. So he came, again, we stopped by, we had a little conversation, and the first question I asked him was that I had a chemistry degree, and I asked him one question. Is qualitative analysis beating you up? He was laughing. We had a conversation. We talked about quantitative analysis of the atoms and everything. I mean, it was a conversation, but it was based, he was studying the curriculum. As a PhD, they had a curriculum because you have more knowledge than a third grade science book. You have more knowledge. Now, we're not minimizing a third grade science book, but now if this student had a meeting with one of those professors and he asked him one question. He said, look, I'm having a problem with quantitative analysis. And the teacher asked him, well, what's the problem? And if he were to take out a fourth grade, third grade science book, I'm trying to understand this, and they would say, wait a minute, are you okay? You're not going to get this advanced information from an elementary book. The deeper things of God, church, you will not find actualization by God's decree in eternity in Genesis. It's not there. You're not going to find you were saved before the foundation of the world in Psalms. It's not there. Now, there is a point. There are some areas where God will spring a little revelation. For example, over there in Psalms, David wrote that before I was even born, I was saved, I was here, I was in the womb of my mother. In other words, he wrote that, but he didn't know what he was writing. See, many times, God breathed upon them to write, but they didn't understand. David had no idea what he was writing when the Lord breathed upon him to write. That before you were saved, before you knew me, you were already saved in eternity. Yes. Jeremiah mentions that. They mentioned that, but they didn't know what they were saying because it wasn't revealed. Now you can take our gospel and you shine light on those other covenants. And you know exactly what it means when it says that you were saved before the foundation of the world. So stay in your gospel for information. Stay in your gospel, the mystery writings, for doctrine. Don't go in those other covenants for doctrine. Because you'll be saved one day and lost the other. Because you are trying to go in an area where you have limited information. Focus in the area where you have more information. Having said that, let's go to Galatians. Now, we mentioned the reason I wanted to mention the seven dispensations, because these are the seven dispensations. But there, two of these dispensations causes the most confusion in the body of Christ today. Go to Galatians 2 and verse 7.
Now we are reading from the book of Galatians, chapter 2, verse 7, first from the King James Version. Mm-hmm. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter.
This is the area where there was a lot of confusion in the church of Galatia because there were leaders there, they were mixing the messages. In fact, it's amazing if you look at the workings of God, church, a lot of people don't know that Paul was actually sick when he was at Galatia, and during the time that the Lord caused him to be on his sick bed, all of this confusion surrounded the church. And they were mixing the messages, through baptism, through tongues, you name it, confusion occurred during that time. And part of the main reason for the confusion was that the messages were not separated. All right. the gospel of the circumcision to Peter, the gospel of the uncircumcision to Paul, the gospel of the circumcision, Commonwealth of Israel, the gospel of the uncircumcision, body of Christ. And church, today we have to separate those messages. Why should we separate those messages? Why is it so important to separate those messages? Deacon, please read Philippians 1:10. Read that directly from the Greek, please.
Now we're reading from Philippians chapter 1, verse 10, from the interlinear Greek text. For thee to prove you the things differing, in order that ye may be sincere and unoffending in the day of Christ.
Notice now, I know some of you, most of you have the King James, and they use the word excellent. However, church, in this scripture here, Philippians 1:10, the King James has rendered this word, they use the word excellent. But what does, let's follow the thought conveyance. Its intransitive meaning is differ. The thought progression is that as things differ, they excel one another. I'm going to repeat that one more time. As things differ, they excel one another. The mystery, what's the mystery again? I'm going real slow. The volume of truth that God gave to the Apostle Paul for the Grace Church. Why is that volume of truth? Why are those 14 epistles different? They are different because they excel in knowledge over the other parts of the Bible. They excel in information, because it's focused on not what God is going to do, but what God has already done. And it also mentions that because things, yes, it's excellent, things that are different, it's different regarding the eternal workings of God, because the things in our contract, church, the grace contract, things in this contract, our contract, was hidden in prior generations. It was not revealed. For by grace you are, Ephesians 2:8, for example. For by grace ye are, I'm sorry, go there, please. that was not a scripture I planned to use, but thank you, Spirit. Please go there. And I think that's a scripture we use in Wednesday Bible class just recently. See, it's different. Let's go directly in the Greek. Ephesians 2:8-9, please.
Now we are reading from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8-9, from the interlinear Greek text. Mm-hmm. For by grace ye are having been saved. Through faith or faithfulness, this not of you, of God the gift, not of works, lest anyone may boast, having boasted.
See it, church. It's many leaders today fight against the writings of Paul. Because it's going to bump heads. It's not a matter of the Word of God. You heard this before. Some people say the Word of God contradicts itself. No, it doesn't. But if it's not rightly divided, they're going to bump heads. Because here, it mentions in the Greek that you are saved not because you got baptized, you shook the preacher's hand, you spoke in tongues. But someone said that's in the Bible. It's those other covenants where the only information... Let me say this. Church, you're only going to get the information that's revealed in those covenants. And what was revealed in the covenant, Jesus said, go and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's the information in those other covenants. Now you move here where you have more information. You're not saved because you got baptized. You were saved because you were saved before the foundation of the world. You were saved according to God. Everything is according to God's eternal decree. And you won't get this information in those other covenants. It's not there. So now if you go in those other covenants for doctrine, you're going to now think that, oh, I spoke in tongues, so I'm saved. Church, I say this. Been there, done that. For years, if someone said, Livermore, are you saved? Oh, yes. Morningstar, Pentecostal church, in the room, two sisters held me by the head, one by the right hand, one by the left. Okay, one says, all right, you said faster. And out here, I'm starting to sweat. Okay, I said faster. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And the other said, no, you said slower. And I said, wait a minute. One sister is telling me to say it faster. And the other sister is telling me to say it slower. And so I came out of the terror room totally confused. And I said, well, this is not for me. It's too much work. And on Sunday, I go home and watch the Super Bowl pass. It's too much work. And from that point, before the enlightenment came, before someone had mentioned, Livermore, are you saved? Yes. Because on my, whatever day it was, 1975, I had my spiritual birthday. And I would be focused on time, what occurred in time. But someone said, do you speak in tongues? Yeah, I spoke in tongues. Well, if you're saying that you don't have to speak in tongues, why do you speak in tongues? You know what? Thank God for his grace. Amen. You know, at that point, God meets us where we are. Thank God for knowledge. So the point is that I had limited knowledge. But limited knowledge has nothing to do with what God has the purpose in eternity. Everything is according to God. So it wasn't about it's not about the tongues, the baptism, the shaking the preacher's hand, it's no pan tithe. It's not about that. It's all about what God has already done. And that's where you have security. What God has already done. It's not about what we do in time regarding salvation. It's what God has already done. During our days that we mess up at times, already saved. In fact, your best day, according to the standards of God, righteousness, you never measure up.
Never.
No one can measure up to God's righteousness and his holiness and his perfection. God is perfect. Amen. Jesus is perfect. Are you perfect? No. Well, let's clarify that. You are not perfect, it's this flesh. But in Christ Jesus, he's the head, you are the body, you are linked with him. In your eternal state, yes, you are perfect in the actualized arena of being joint heir with Christ. Not the manifestation of this depraved body. But in your eternal, hallelujah, in the eternal realm, where the action is. I like the word actualize, action. The action is in the eternal realm. So, in essence, and that's nothing to brag about. No, when you say you're perfect, you're in Christ. And everything that's in time is going to be destroyed. And the only thing that's going to be left is what has always been here all the time, and that's what God has decreed. He's decreed your salvation, so you can always be here. But what does it mean about the body being see, again, you need to separate the new man from the old man. The new man is recreated in Christ Jesus. That man can't sin. But now if you take that information and try to figure this out, that John had this enlightenment. The new man has never sinned. And then the person messes up. Well, what do you mean? That's see, they say the Bible is not contradicting itself. And John mentions that he that's born of God cannot sin. He's not talking about the flesh. She, born of God, you cannot sin. Why? Because that is the recreated entity in Christ Jesus. He's the head, we're the body. Wherever the head goes, we're with him. Always in him. Now, I mentioned with this information, church, we need to move from what's called spiritual lethargy, spiritual slothiness, to see, come on, church, to see that, hallelujah, the Lord is coming. Again, I'm speaking from, you understand, it's coming. It just hasn't manifested. But thank God, every day the actualization of his coming is that much closer. But understand, there's no time in with God. God is timeless. So it's not a matter of when we say, well, the Lord has been here, the Lord has, the grace age has been here 2,000 years. We look, we're referring from a component of time. But eternality does not have time. There's no time associated with eternality. We are eternally in Christ. Amen. So this document talks about the observation of manifestation in time from the viewpoint of actualization in eternity. Before we, let's corroborate something, church. Let's go to Deacon Gavin, go to 2 Peter 3:11. We're going to corroborate something that the Lord, that Peter wrote in 2 Peter 3:11. Yes, please.
Now we're reading from 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11, first from the King James Version. Mm-hmm. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Mm-hmm. Now, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11, from the Interlineal Greek text. These things, thus, all being dissolved, what sort of men it behooves to be you in holy conduct and piety.
Notice now, Peter wrote this, church, in terms of all, everything that's happening, everything that's happening in terms of things being dissolved, how much more should we focus on eternity, knowing that things are happening. Now again, Peter wrote this from a contract where there's limited information. But many writings, and even in the other gospel, the other covenants, many times they'll corroborate what is in the mystery writings. But he mentions something regarding seeing these things. What things? Well, let's begin. Let's refer to the document here. The Apostle Peter's writing to Jewish believers. He posed a very interesting and relevant question here, stating, what Deacon Gavin just read, seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all separated manner of time and godliness? If this is deemed to be relevant in Peter's era, it should now be considered an essential question and statement in the elect of God in this dispensation, the Grace Church Age. Full knowledge of God's plan, purpose, and will should dramatically impact informed thinking and influence such actions as we move into the actualized concepts of what eternal existence encompasses. In placing into true perspective the essence of time as God has creatively scheduled the manifestation of his will. All right. Consider what the Apostle Paul, now referencing the Apostle Paul, let's go to Romans 3:11, Deacon Gavin. Romans 13, 11, and 12. Now keep that thought, what we just mentioned. Deacon Gavin is now reading Romans 13, 11. You ready, Deacon?
Yes.
Okay, please.
Now reading from Romans chapter 13, verse 11 and 12. Mm-hmm. First King James.
Yes, please.
First from the King James Version. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Mm-hmm. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Now from the Interlineal Greek text, Romans chapter 13, verses 11 and 12. And this, knowing the time, that hour now, you out of sleep to be raised. For now, nearer of us the salvation than when we believed. The night advanced, and the day has drawn near. Let us cast off, therefore, the works of the darkness, and let us put on the weapons of the light.
Now, church, Deacon Gavin mentioned let several times. Understand that in terms of putting off, let's say, spiritual slothfulness or spiritual laziness, and let us move on to the deeper things of God, everything is according to God's purpose. There are some of God's people that will stay in spiritual lethargy, some until the absent from the body, present with the Lord. Others God will breathe on to move them to an area of not being slothful, but it's according to what God has purposed for that life. Having said that, Deacon Gavin just read that. Now let's move into this deeper. He talks about moving toward knowing the time. What about the time? The time that now it is high time that we awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than we believe. Now what about the Greek text? And this knowing the time that it is already the hour for you to be raised out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. This verse conveys the spirit lethargy of God's people, primarily the Greek phrase rendered, and this calls attention to the lateness or passing of time. This emphasizes that enlightened ones need to be rendered, the Greek word rendered, knowing the time, perceptively seeing the particular time or the point in time that is on God's manifested time clock. This is how eternality views time in the light of God's eternal purpose. Thus, this verse states that it is already the hour for you to be raised out of sleep. Thus, the time is rendered already past. It has come and gone. When you should have been raised out of rendered sleep. In other words, this statement is prodding that it is late. Therefore, be raised out of your spiritual sleep and slumber, and only God, see, it goes back to God. Only God can do this. Somebody say, well, you act like we can't do anything. Hallelujah. You can't. In the kingdom gospel, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Well, someone say, I came to church. I did this, I did that. Well, let's qualify that. It is God that who worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure.
I hear you.
You only came here because God breathed upon you to come here.
Yes, sir.
If God hadn't breathed upon you, you would be home just like anyone else today, watching late movie last night. Whatever you're doing, you would have slept today. Come on, y'all. You've been there.
Or out of here.
And if God do not breathe upon you, and I'm sure in some of our days, I'm sure there are times that we got up, did not come to church for whatever reason. You'd have stayed home.
Jesus.
It was God's according to God.
Jesus.
And some of you on fire, you say, oh, I'm on fire, I read my Bible. No, it's God that's moving you to do according to his will. But the key is this. We are not focused on time, we focus on eternity. In God's eternity view, church, yes, they said there are Marcus and Peter's day. Where is the promise of his coming? But it's one thing, we don't know when he's coming, church, but we do know one thing. There's one thing we do know. From a manifestation viewpoint, we're that much closer.
Hallelujah.
We do know that.
Hallelujah.
In fact, right now, I just made the statement, time in the matrix, we're that much closer. Everything that moves, that was conscious-wise, everything that moves in that matrix, the manifestation is that much closer. But the actualization has already occurred.
Already.
I hear you.
Already.
It's already occurred, church. Get a good night's sleep. Everything is complete. That matrix is already filled. Somewhere along in that matrix, again, please, I'm just making a point. Nobody knows when Jesus is coming up. I'm just throwing this out. Let's say the Lord's in that matrix. Let's say I'm using the term 2024. Well, all of a sudden, 2024, we're out of here. Well, you were out the whole time. It just appeared in that frame in 2024. And please listen, I'm not saying that Jesus is coming in 2024. Nobody knows the day or the hour. But whatever that essence of that frame, when that appears, it was there the whole time. It was there the whole time. One day, some of you may have your funeral before the Lord comes. Because we don't know. But we don't know, but I'm just saying, whatever your, that date, that funeral, that date, it's already there. It's a frame down there somewhere. But when your conscience catches up with that frame, then the manifestation's there at the same time.
Yes.
So don't beat yourself up and say, well, I could have changed this, I could have done this. No, no, no. Everything happened the way it was supposed to happen. Everything happened in your life the way it was supposed to happen, even though you didn't understand it. Even though there are a plethora of things that I constantly think, oh, if I'd done this, if I did this, should, this, this, that, you'd be going to your grave being a this, that Christian. This, that, all that. No, no, no. Everything, it happened the way it was supposed to happen. Moving further, it is very important to note that the Greek verb rendered to be, having been raised, is an infinitive in the aorist tense and passive voice. Hallelujah. Here, the aorist tense reinforces the point of those prearranged to having already been raised out of sleep. And this is certainly not the case because men of God's people have the same mindset as the world. More significantly, the passive voice indicates that none other than these respondents is a catalyst of raising, arousing and awakening God's people from their spiritual stupor. For those who are in a state of spiritual hibernation, you know, many of God's people are spiritually hibernating. Come on, church.
Yes,
they are spiritually hibernating, Pastor. They're just doing nothing. Like they are hibernating. Just out there, then according to God, when the season of weather, the bear comes forth. But when animals hibernate, they're doing nothing. That's passive. But when we hibernate, God wants us to, for those who he's breathed upon, to awaken out of slothfulness. That the purpose of the Holy Spirit as he energizes such through the word of God. The addressees are those who are spiritually alive in Christ. And as such, have need for their spirits to be stimulated.
Come on here.
And aroused by the Holy Spirit.
Yes, sir.
No, it's not aroused by you.
No.
Come on, church. See, not aroused by you. Anything that doesn't take the focus on God is pride.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Humility always points to Christ.
Christ.
Point to God.
Hallelujah.
Because he is the creator and the author
of
all things. Everything begins and ends with God. And everything that you do, don't take glory for that, because God still breathed upon you to do the pre-arranged, the pre-assignment. The pre-assignment for your life. According to God. So you have been aroused by the Holy Spirit. So instead of exhibiting a state of spiritual slothfulness, God's people need to be simmering on fire as energized by the Holy Spirit. But you hear the term, I'm on fire for God. You heard it. I'm on fire for God. Don't take credit for that.
No.
God is the one that took the match. It may have been a flame in your life, but God breathed upon that flame to give you the fire. It's all according to God.
Praise him. Praise him.
Now, as we move in the matrix, church, this is where we are. As we move in the matrix, as the minutes, hours, days, weeks, months, and years manifest in history, this verse states, For now our salvation is nearer than when we believe. It's nearer in manifestation. Your salvation is nearer in manifestation, but it's complete in actualization. You can't add anything. You can't add nothing. Can't take away nothing. Anything that God has sealed, over there Paul writes in Ephesians, you are sealed until the day of redemption. Sealed means sealed. You can't take, you can't do anything. You are sealed. Everything already done. But that's the manifestation of that sealing component. It's, like each time you breathe, every time there's a ceiling. So pastor's an architect. I'm not going to mess this one up, but I know when you build a house, they have these bricks, and everything is placed there, and all of a sudden, one day, the house is complete. But in the actualized arena, the house is already built, it's already complete the whole time. It's just that each time they lay a brick, that was a manifestation of the end result. And they're not going to go out and just build a house and not have no idea what they're building. The design, the vision, everything is already there. So each time they put a brick, each time they, each move they make, it's moving toward that original, that end design. Our life is complete. The design is already there. So every job you take, every mess up you make, it's moving toward that completed design. But it's there all the time. It's already there.
Hallelujah.
And sometimes you may put a brick down, that brick may bump you side of the head. That's part of life. You're moving toward that, and that, and God calls that incident. So many times in life there'll be accidents. Things that you shouldn't have done, you did. And we're not measuring these things, but everything is moving toward your completeness in action, in manifestation of who you already were in actualization. You are complete in Him.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
So as we move,
make it plain, Ella.
So we should buy, again, the goal of grace, buy up every opportunity to serve the Lord, because the days are evil. Our contract tells us we're living in this present evil age. That's our gospel. We're living in this present evil age. So don't be alarmed about some of the things. Every time I see some crazy things happen, you know what? Years ago, I would think, oh, Lord, I'd be shaking. What's going to happen next? Now, from the eternal view, the Bible tells us that we live in this present evil age. It's all according to God. And for sometimes, God's people think that things that are happening now, this is something new. There's always been crazy things happening. But one difference is this. We are moving toward the end in manifestation.
Hallelujah.
The time, Christ will one day, again, we're dealing with manifestation. Christ will one day manifest the return for His own incoming. It's near each day. It's near each day, church. From the moment one salvation is revealed, such should begin looking forward to the greatest of all events. What's that greatest event? The day of total manifestation of salvation. The day of total manifestation of salvation via the medium of the rapture. Out of here. Let the world, hey, okay, tribulation, come on, bring it on. We'll be absent from the body. We'll be with Christ. Somebody said, we're not going to be in the tribulation?
No.
Put a big N. No. Relax, church. No. See, again, I've been there, done that. I've been there, church. Been there. Matthew 24 scared me. Woe to them which are. Woe to them. Lord, and I will be on my knees praying. Lord, how many? Lord, you know, Jesus talked about flee to the mountains. Woe to them that those that let's use pregnant. And my son, I remember my wife is pregnant. By the way, my son's 40 years old today.
Amen.
And I said, Lord, don't let the rapture come, let the Antichrist come when my wife is pregnant, because it's gonna be hard getting to the mountain. See, it's gonna be hard. So Jesus, somebody said, Jesus said, who was he talking to?
That's right.
we just read,
yes,
to Peter was committed the gospel of the kingdom. To Paul was committed the gospel of the grace of God. So when he talks about moving to the, running to the mountains, he's talking about the Jewish economy. Israel, the time of Jacob's trouble, the 7-year tribulation period before the millennial reign of Christ, that Israel is going to go through 7 years of horror. That's when it's going to be rough. And by the way, people think it's rough now. Are you kidding? This is almost like heaven compared to that 7 years. So, in essence, he wasn't referring to the body of Christ. But because before the Holy Spirit, no, like, give credit to the Holy Spirit, before he breathed upon me to divide these messages.
Yes, sir.
Everything I read about, when somebody said he's the, oh, he mentioned the elect. Aren't you the elect? Yes, we are. But God has, the one consistency about the scriptures, church, it's so consistent. God has his elect in every dispensation.
Every.
Moses was his elect under the law. Joshua.
Yes, yes.
Peter, James, and John, they were the elect under the kingdom. And thank God, thank God for the Apostle Paul and Timothy. They're all the elect in this dispensation. But you should say hallelujah, because you are the elect in this dispensation, the greatest dispensation of all, the dispensation of the gospel of the grace of God.
Yes, yes.
Give the Lord a hand. Amen.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Moving further. Okay, I'm almost 10 minutes. I'll be sitting down. Let's go further here. Romans 13:12 states from the King James Version, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. The Greek states, here's a Greek exegesis here, the night is almost gone and the day is near. Therefore we should lay aside the works of darkness and we should put on the armor of light. This verse, verse 12, continues to emphasize the short time God's people have to serve the Lord and graphically portrays this in stating that the night is almost gone. The Greek now rendered night depicts this present evil age as a time of moral and spiritual darkness. The Greek verb rendered almost gone denotes that the night is far advanced, far spent, and almost over. In other words, the time that Satan has authority and power over the world system is drawing to a close.
It is.
Church, it's just a matter of time. See, here's where God's people miss it. It's been, we're looking at 2,000 years in church history. And people say, well, it's so long. It's so long. Oh, 2,000 years, it's so long. From whose viewpoint? A day of the Lord is 1,000 years because there is no sequence in eternity. We view 2,000 years as a long time. Let's throw another time. Let's give you another example. Let's suppose that the Lord is another 1,000 years before the Lord comes. Now, personally, again, this is just my feeling. I think the Lord's going to come before 1,000 years. But we don't know. But in God's eye, that 1,000 years is like, because God is timeless, church. God is timeless.
Yes, sir.
He's not captivated by time. Many times we are. So whatever that time is, from a time component, it still is closer than yesterday. The time that the Lord is going to manifest his second coming is closer than the time that you woke and sat down in this church about 2 hours ago. The time that the Lord is going to manifest his coming is closer than the next breath you just took. Each breath we take, we are moving closer to the manifestation of God's eternal will, his purpose, that is the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
And when we go through, we call it sickness and disease and heartache, and people don't understand you, all this turmoil. And the Lord has hit my life. Church, it hit me the other day. It was like, again, I didn't, the Lord didn't speak to my heart, but it was like the light came on. I said, wait, to be forever with Christ. Mm-hmm. No end. And these little things we're going through. And I was reading the other day, I have lived over 85% of my life, lifespan. Mm-hmm. So I said, Lord, let the other 15%, bring it on. I can take it. Because the one is that many of us, we've lived over half, depending upon your age. And even teenagers today, my little granddaughters, you know, they looking around there. They, you think they have all the life in the world. Yeah, they're young. Mm-hmm. But it won't be long. I told my granddaughters, you know, I tell them, well, you add 50 years to their life. Mm-hmm. They'll say, yeah, this time is moving. But because of your age, sometimes it's hard to connect. But what we can say is this: whatever goes down, church, it's not going to be long. It will not be long.
I hear you.
I said again, it won't be long that we're going to be out here.
Out. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
This last paragraph here. Hence, the trust is that in the view of the short time, enlightenment ones are to live in the essence of Christ's actualized sphere of eternality. Following the thought that the night is almost gone, notice the statement, and the day is near. Mm-hmm. Observe that in contrast to the Greek noun or night, rendered day, may also reference those redeemed are the sons of light and sons of day. Mm-hmm. Have mercy. The focal point is that a given day is near, already referred to as the time of our salvation, and identified with what is called the rapture. Hallelujah. Rapture, church, it's rapture time. Mm-hmm. Consummation of the present night period previews when Satan's power on this earth will have run its course, and the day referring to is near, and it will ultimately usher manifest in the day of spiritual light and righteousness under the supreme regulation of Jesus Christ himself. In essence, church, the whole focus, the whole thing that we need to remember is this. Many things in our life we're not going to understand, because that's the purpose of God.
Yes, sir.
But we, through the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit, we should understand, and like my pastor always say, teaches us, everything begins with salvation. Mm-hmm. And what is salvation?
Our eternal,
everlasting relationship with God. And from that viewpoint, mm-hmm. everything in your life flow from the viewpoint of salvation.
Yes, sir.
And if you can have peace in the fact that God saved you, mm-hmm. yes. motivated by his love for you, mm-hmm. the fact that he saved you, he loved you, he will take care of you. Somebody said, I'm going through, well, everybody's going through something. And I was thinking, here, I'm going to close on this little short example here. I was reading the other day, it's amazing. When I read an article or a newspaper or anything now, I try to read it from the viewpoint of eternity. if I view that from based upon what pops up in the matrix, I would be a nervous wreck. And I was reading the other day, in the way that our country, church, has moved in terms of technology, in terms of everything, and there's so much talk now about the nuclear codes, about nuclear war. There's so much talk. You hear that all on the news, and a lot of people don't realize that any president, especially in the age of nuclear weapons, if the United States is attacked, whoever's president, he, she, whoever, based upon if it's a false alarm. Sometimes they have 6 minutes to either launch a nuclear, 6 minutes, church. And that time frame, and you know, when we're talking about launching a missile, we're talking about a missile that could destroy this country. Now, we're not, please. See, if you can say this, destroy this country, we won't be destroyed.
That's right.
Because we're already safe. Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying is that, you know, again, I'm not calling names, but people are concerned because this person's potential temperament, and all of a sudden a false alarm. And by the way, in this arena, when the president decides, whoever it is, when they decide to release, hit that button, You're not going to meet with Congress. You're not going to meet with the Senate. It's a sole decision of the president. Here's a point. Whatever go down, if the law uses problems in this country, and by the way, the way things are moving, there are going to be some problems. There's always been problems. But the whole key, whoever has the nuclear code, whoever has that, either way, our focus is not on these crazy things that manifest in the matrix. Our focus is on this. Whatever crazy things happen in our government and in a government, God is using that incident as one more step to usher us into eternality, and the arena of eternality is our gospel, and our gospel give us the deeper information in terms of who we are in Christ. So that is why we should always major in the arena of the Bible, the dimension of the Bible, where we have more information, more knowledge, more understanding, and that dimension, that medium, is the great scriptures, the gospel of the grace of God, which is the only gospel that should be preached in this dispensation of God's sovereign grace. God bless you.